give it in joy overflow. The Lord directs to me the sweeter we grow.
Dear God, we are grateful for this morning. Lord, there's so many people across the world can sing that song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. There are people, Lord, in this world that knows you from a humanistic point of God. Know you, Father, as someone who came and loved the whole world. Then there's another group of people who know you, Father, because you said, I will give them a heart to know me. And Lord, your word says that there will come a time that the Father will seek true worship, that they that can worship you in spirit and in truth. And unless that truth could come to us, O God, unless you planned, elected, Lord, and placed the gene in our heart and sent somebody with life, we would never really know what the agape of God is. We ask of you today to teach us your word. Lord, that you'd minister to our lives. There are so many, Lord, that are counting upon you today, Lord, because they believe you, Father, that you are going to teach them. And Lord, even to the problems that they have and the sicknesses that they have, the challenges that they have, Father, you said we can speak to this mountain. We can speak to our circumstances and we can speak to all diseases as we adjure the works of the enemy, Father. As we count it to God defeated, Father, because we are your sons and we are your daughters. We commit to God this morning, the congregation. We thank you, Father, for the support, the prayers, the tithes, the offerings, Father, the mission work that they've contributed towards. We remember the fivefold ministry, Father. And even as we will continue today, may you inspire, may you teach us your ways, O God. That we'll begin to understand the hour that we are living in. Be gracious to bless us. We thank you, Lord, for the government of the church and every department. We appreciate, oh God, that this opportunity we have today. Do bless us, Lord, as we continue. We remember those that are celebrating their birthdays and anniversaries as well. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as we take our scripture reading from the book of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, or forgive all thy iniquity, O heals all thy diseases. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. You may take your seats this morning. It's going to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are doing the seventh seal, but I want to do a part which is called the purpose of the first and second pull. So I set this up so that we can look at the third pull. But without understanding the first and the second pull, we would run into problems. So the Bible says in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits and all thy and who heal it. Forgive it all thy iniquity, who heal it all thy diseases. So we're going to tie that up. I think I left my mouse. Okay, I think it's in my bag. All right. So, but before we go to that, you do understand that the planets are lining up around the 15th. Around the period of time that we're living in. So we can expect much more situations taking place. For those of you who know that recently the south or the north coast was hit by tornadoes, okay? So we are seeing right now that the earth, and so there's a lot of planets that are lining up. So this is software Brother Norman told us about the Stellarium. So you can go home and you can look at it. A very interesting software to tell you the time and the seasons that we're living in. This is all the galaxies that's going on. All right, so Cancer. So we know that we are in Aquarius. And Aquarius and Pluto is going to be here for 9 till 2044. But coming up this week, you're going to have a whole lot of planets aligning up around the 15th. And when that happens, you must basically expect a lot more. What we saw here is just, this is another one I've put on. So I sent it to Brother Norman. You can always look at it. These are all live. These are live trackings. That's what's taking place around the world, planets. I was actually looking at even, they can track the basically, so notice here we've got, you've got the Earth, you've got the Sun, you've got Mercury, you've got Venus, there's Jupiter coming and there's Mars coming in right here. So all they're all going to line up, and when these things happen, you can expect a lot more things. Telling you and I that Bible speaks of the seas will be roaring at the end time because the Lord is preparing us. All right, I think I had one more here. I just put in a few so that you can go home and you can spend some time in the and to realize that this is Star Walk. But they're all giving us the same thing. I don't have too much time to go into that, but I just thought I should tell you that these things are lining up. You can expect more earthquakes. I spoke to you about Neptune lining up. You got Jupiter. You got Mars. You've got Saturn coming in. Uranus coming in. All these things, and people are wondering what's going on. You'll find your internet is unstable. It's there, not there. Flights. There's so much of flights that's taking place. When you look at the world, you don't even realize that there's so many planes that are presently. But normally, can you pick up? I think it's called tracker something. At home, my studies, I looked at it, where you can pick up the flights, and you don't even realize there's so many on the airways because, you know, you're supposed to fly, like how you've got the N1, M4, M13, and so forth. All those things are basically roads, and even in the airlines, you just can't, your pilot just can't turn anyway. You can't cross a certain boundary and so forth because you're going to create problems. And if you do that, you're going to have accidents in the air. You can't land at a certain time. Now, all this now, you find that they're finding now that the navigational systems are going off. The navigational systems are going off. Look at the flights. Look at it. Now, whilst we are talking, look at the flights that's taking place. Now, you don't realize it, but they're all in the air. Now, can you imagine with these planets aligning up and so forth, how the accidents you're going to have, you know? So they are looking at, they are wondering, you know, why some of the planes are going off course. Obviously they are tampering. There are people tampering with it because there's also space war that's going on. Across the world, the space war, and so forth. So look at the east. If you go to the east, look at right just above Africa. Look at the UK. All right, so that's, I thought I should just tell you that when you see all the news taking place, don't worry about it. It is part of God's sign to tell you these things. So we're looking at the purpose of the first and the second pull. And let's go on. Now, it's very difficult for man to believe in a man. We tend to believe ourselves, but we tend not to believe somebody else. So man isn't God's agent. And the hardest thing, the prophecy, that God ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe in another mortal. You always find the credibility is a problem. It's always a credibility problem, right? They couldn't believe Moses, and God gave him two signs to prove to the people that he was from God for the deliverance. Because that's generally the problem. You don't believe. You always believe that somebody, that you are the better person. An expectation. I told him that I was uneducated and I was unable to go. He told me I'd be given two signs. So here's a prophet again now. Using Moses. You know, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Now we're seeing the picture that the Lord is going to give him two signs. I said the people will not believe me because I'm not educated sufficient to speak to the people. It says you'll be given two signs. As Moses, the prophet, he said one sign will be that you will detect the diseases through their hands. When the people contact you, you'll be able to tell them what the diseases are and through a supernatural discernment. So now he will take them by the hand. He'll tell them what the diseases were. And if you will be sincere, and it will come to pass that you'll be able to tell the secrets of their heart. You'll be able to tell the secrets of the heart. Why was that so? Because the Lord was trying to get the people to believe in him. Believe who he is. All right. Now that scripture is that prophecy that the angel of the Lord gave him, we see that in Luke chapter 21, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, power and glory. So we know that the Lord now is going to show himself in power. The way the scripture is written does not necessarily mean it happens in that order. It has to take the ministry to tell you the first thing he does, he comes to reveal himself in power. Now, I want you to follow this very carefully, because if you lose me today, you lose me on Wednesday, you're going to lose me next week, Sunday. All right? All right, so we're going to go. When I sit, it means I'm going to go a bit slow, but yet I'm told I'm very fast. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That means there is a sign that's going to take place. 28 is a sign of the time. That when you see this now, then you must know that your redemption is drawing nigh. But why was the Lord putting that scripture there? Because for 2,000 years, we know that the pillar of fire was not present. Now, we already been to that, is that the Lord's presence was represented by these seven spirits, which was before the throne of God, that comes to anoint the seven stars that's on the earth. After, remember that Paul was a prophet messenger. And when Paul was leaving the earth, grievous wolves were coming in, but the church of Ephesus fell away. Now, by now, you already know you had the mature church. And when Paul was taken off the scene, the church fell into denomination. So the pillar of fire left the earth after Paul died. And from the time that Paul died until 1909, we don't see the pillar of fire again. So the presence of the Lord was represented. And now we need to understand now that for 2,000 years, they were looking for the event that's going to take place in 1946. Now, we're going to ask ourselves why. There are many things I want you to understand, is that in the church ages, they forgot who their God was. Trinity was introduced, where they believe that God is like a bunch of grapes. You know, the Father is a grape, the Son is a grape, the Holy Ghost is a grape. They all come from one stem, yet there are three separated gods. The Son is equal to the Father is equal to the Holy Ghost. Three persons of the Godhead all making up one. That's what was introduced at the Nicaea Council that started off at the times of Cush and Nimrod in the book of Genesis, where they raised up. Now you say, but where was Trinity? Trinity started in the Garden of Eden, where the Bible says, "And ye shall be like gods." Okay, you'll be gods. So Trinity already started there. And so in the church ages, we see they did not know who their God was. Now, I want you to follow me carefully. So you had the Jehovah Witness who believed that Jehovah is God and the Son is not, had nothing to do with the supernatural. He was not God himself and so forth. He's just an agency. Then you had the oneness people coming along who believed the Father became the Son, became the Holy Ghost. And then you have multiple religions who say all gods are the same, all religions are the same religion, all rivers come to the same sea. That means you're living in a period of time where everybody believed that their God was, or their form of worship was the correct worship. So for 2,000 years, they did not know who their God was. So lesson number one, that the purpose of the first pull and the second pull is to differentiate who the true God is. And you're going to see that today. Because we lose sight of the fact that 2,000 years, they forgot who their God was. So in 1946 now, we're going to see that Luke 21, 27 to 31, that he wants to reveal himself in power, is to show you who he really is. Do I make sense? So the ministry of Son of Man in the last day is to teach. He's going to teach them. The ministry of Son of Man in the last day is to reveal himself. To who? To the elected. And what is the purpose? Is so that they will come to know their God. Do you make sense? You say, but why will they come to know their God? It's because in the 2,000 years, in the church ages, they forgot who their God was. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flattery? But the people do not know their God. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That means there's a prophecy in Daniel chapter 11, 32, that there will come a time that there will be a people that know their God. Because we tend to, even though you can be under the open book ministry, apostolic ministry, we tend to believe that everybody knows their God. We tend to believe that everybody knows, understands the message, understands the Bible, so they must know their God. But the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah. That means it's not so much about the flood, it is also about how few people came to know and understood the revelation that God gave to Noah. Only 8 people, the Bible says, were saved. So we must not only look at the immorality and the corruption, look at the group of people that went into the ark. So we can expect that a very few group of people, 7 billion in the world, and if 7,000 people come to know, or even 1 million, it's not even too much of people. The ministry of Son of Man has 3 pulls, has 3 conjunctions, has 3 differentiations that God was trying to make himself known. One in power, okay? One in power, and we're seeing that the Son of Man has 3 pulls. The first and second pull is part of the unfolding of the mystery of Godhead, revelation in the days of Son of Man in this day. We generally do not think that Revelation 3:20, we generally do not even think that the first pull and second pull is to unfold the mystery of Godhead. We only think it was given to Brother Branham as vindication. But the other side of it, it was actually the unfolding or the revealing of who was present here. The first main purpose of God is that he wants to have worship. And he had a desire to have a family. And for him to have a family, that means under the patriarch system, they first got to come to know who their God is. Are we together? Who their God is. So it's important. It is important that the first two pulls is part of the revelation of Godhead, where God is revealing himself, and we must see that. We must see that. Now, because people are reading Revelation 3:20, but they don't see it as part of Godhead. They, as I said to you, they sing it as the word coming. They sing it as a spiritual happening because their Godhead is wrong. Their Godhead is wrong. And because their Godhead is wrong, they kind of cluster the entire thing as the message, but they cannot see that the greatest mystery of all is that God wants to make himself known. The revelation of Godhead, as the word says, is the capstone revelation. Is the capstone revelation. All right. So we must not, we must see, it's not just to attract attention, but to attract attention to who? It's, I want you to understand this, is that God was not getting the people to be attracted to Brother Branham. No. Because Brother Branham is just a man. But he was trying to get the attention of the people and get their attention and draw them away to see there's a presence on the earth that has never been here for 2,000 years. Do I make sense? All right. So who is the one that is able to do this? And we did this under the appearing of the Lord. For those of you that missed it, we spoke on the parousia. And we know that there's a difference with the appearing and the coming, because the prophet of God was quite clear on that. Because I think I've got a quote somewhere here, or is it in my notes? Okay, yes, it's here. There's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's two different words. He's appearing now in his church. We see him, we know it's him, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, but what is the difference between the appearing and the coming? So there's a presence that uses the prophet's body to speak. But the coming is attached to a physical body, a body that God made, a physical body that God made. So every time you see the body that God made is on the earth, it's a corporal body. But every time God anoints somebody, okay, like in the days of Brother Branham, who was anointed, that is the appearing of the Lord. All right? The appearing of the Lord. So this is part of Godhead, and the part of Godhead revelation is designed for certain people, which Daniel said in the last day that they shall know their God. And as you begin to study this, you'll understand is that if your Godhead revelation is wrong, you are not going to know the sign that and the time that we're in, because you'll push this in the future. You'll push this in the future because you will not know who is amongst us. Because a lot of times people say, it's just an angel anointing Brother Branham. But who's that angel? They don't know who's that angel. Now, you can't know your God if he does not if you were not in his mind. That means if God had in his mind that I'm going to have a people that's going to know me. And no matter where they are, where they can be in the Jehovah Witness, in the Trinitarian, in the Oneness churches, or wherever they are, he will make sure they will come to know this truth. He will make sure they will come to know this truth. Because they cannot be part of the rapture if they don't know their God. Therefore, the first two pulls is not just to identify the ministry, but to identify the Godhead. It's to identify Elohim, to identify God in the form of a prophet. Now, when we say form, it doesn't mean incarnation. It means anointing. God anointing the vessel on the earth. So it's a, so we're calling it now, it's the Son of Man in power. God revealing himself in power. So if you do not know your God, you'll not understand Son of Man. You'll use the terminology Son of Man. You could have been to lots of meetings. You could have heard people preaching. But Son of Man is God, means a Son of Man means God in the form of a prophet. Son of Man is also a period of time or a dispensation, how God runs his office in that period of time. And Son of Man can also be somebody that's born of a human class. So when we speak of Son of Man in power, we don't connect Son of Man with the power as part of the revelation of God. We don't really do that. We're just thinking of Brother Branham. We're thinking God vindicating a prophet, that God is trying to show you the fear of the Lord. But it is no man can do this only. It's trying to tell you that no man can do what this prophet is doing. Because you say, but why? Because you read John. When Jesus, they say, verily, verily, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing by himself, for what the Father see do, for whatever things he do, they also do it the Son. If you don't know your God, then you're going to say that Jesus healed. And you'll hear this on the tape. Brother Brandon says, and Jesus is here by the pulpit. Jesus is standing here. Jesus is amongst you. And the first Jesus they're thinking about is the one that's born in Bethlehem. Because their God, it is wrong. And that is why they cannot in any way understand or appreciate the message in a way, because it can't open up. For example, if your child does not learn A to Z, does not learn how to count numerically, multiply, whatever it is, eventually you're going to find he's going to get handicapped. After he learns the letters of the alphabet, he learns to form words. A for apple, B for ball, okay, C for cat. And then he learns to form sentences. And then he forms, he can write a paragraph, he can write a book, he can write a letter. Okay, apart from learning adjectives and verbs and pronouns. But the old idea is, if he does not know alphabet, the letters of the alphabet, he can't read and write. If you can't, if you do not know your God, you will think that the Son or Jesus is on the earth and he's doing all the work. And what scripture you think they, what scripture you think they're using? They use in the book of John. Okay, they use in the book of John is where who's standing before you and who's also in heaven. They don't understand that God can be in a place at a time. And Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself. Now, I have a lots of quotes and scriptures. So let me just very quickly, I'm not going to do this in total, but Brother Norman can release this, okay? Because lots of time people don't really get the picture that Brother Branham is quite clear, and the scriptures in faith by experience. It says, when God showed him a vision, told him to go by the from the house of Lazarus, because he did nothing until the Father showed him. And he went away for 4 days till the vision was fulfilled. So the Son could not do anything. And that's why Jesus said, I thank thee. He says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, if your God it is wrong, you will never understand even that miracle at Lazarus' grave. And like you said, but what do you mean? Let's go on, another quote. And then when he was passing around, no vision, the woman touched his garment that made him weak. He looked around. He says, I got weak. That was the woman using God's gift. That was the woman using God's gift. Okay? Now, Who is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? It is not the Son. It's the Father. All right? It's the Father. So he says, let's go on. Another one here. Now, St. John 5:19. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing, but what he sees the Father do it first. Now, many a times they read this quote, they read the scriptures and so forth, but they never sit back and say, hey, but if the Son, Bible says if Son can do nothing except what the Father is showing, what was that? Oh, no, the Father was playing a role here. So what he did, he's here, he's playing the role of the Father, he's showing a vision, and the Son came here, he caught the vision. That's how they look at it. They're looking at the one person playing the role. That's why these scriptures can't make sense. See, it was a vision, not what I hear the Father say, but what I see the Father do. He says, when he sees it, then only he can do it. All right. So I'm just trying to show you that he says, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. So the power that's on the earth, when he says Jesus, you must tie it up with these quotes and say, hold it. The Bible says the Son can do nothing. So there must be another Jesus here. Do that make sense? Where is this? Okay, so this is about a vision and so forth, and how the Lord began to heal. But you can go home and read this quotes, okay? Now, it says, now he didn't heal no one. Very much contrary. He claimed he didn't heal. Now, this is the prophet of God telling you about the Son of God. He says, he claimed he didn't heal. He said, it's not me. I only do what the Father shows me. But do you understand what I'm trying to show you? The Son can do nothing. So there are lots and lots of support to tell you that the Son of God can do nothing. Because God will share his glory with no one. So if the Son can do nothing, and you're hearing Brother Branham says, and Jesus is here doing the miracles, your mind must connect with this. They say, okay, now this is not the Jesus he's talking about. Okay? There must be another Jesus. Now, people say, you mean the Bible speaks of another Jesus? Yes, in the book of Galatians, where Paul says, and they're preaching another Jesus. If there's somebody coming to you, preaching that which we have not preached, because we are hearing, they're preaching another Jesus. That confirms when people say, but I heard in Kenville, you're talking about two Jesuses. Yes. Maybe the brother in the back can bring that scripture. Yes, we are only quoting what the Bible is saying. That in the days of Paul, there were people preaching another Jesus. And we see that scripture coming back again. They're preaching another Jesus who is a miracle worker. But there's only one Jesus who is a miracle worker. And that's God himself. That's God himself. He says, Jesus saw visions and only worked as the Father, as God showed him, by visions only. Now, you know, in the church world, if you are to tell them this, they will not believe it. That is why I say to you, when you talk to people, don't say, show them. Show them scripture, show them quotes. Because when you do that, then they are actually going against the word of God. You say, but why do you have to show them? It's just like how I show you. I show you to clarify and remove every doubt from your mind. To tell you, listen, I'm not fabricating. I'm reading quotes of the prophet. Verily I say, the Son can do nothing in himself. Do we get the picture? All right. Jesus didn't know nothing. I'm going to come back to this when I'm doing the 10th vision. Jesus didn't do nothing or could do nothing unless the Father showed him by vision. Okay? He raised some of them. He healed some of them. He only did it at the command of Jehovah God, his Father. And Jehovah God, his Father, was Christ reconciling the world to himself. So Christ was Jehovah God. All right? Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. People read the scriptures, but they don't sit back and say, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws me. No, 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 no. Brother, you don't understand. It's the same God who went there as a Father, he comes inside as a Son. Where do you hear such nonsense? You know? Like one person put on Facebook. I didn't read Facebook because I don't have time to go through these things. He went and wrote there on Facebook, and brothers posted on the groups. No, the Father, Jesus was the Father, and Jesus was the Son, and he just did not want to reveal this to them just in case they kill him. Come on. I mean, where are you getting all this foolishness from? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or have received another spirit whom you have not received, or another gospel, if you're not received, we might well bear with it. So in the days of Paul, they were preaching another Jesus. That's a prophecy. Because, you know, but now the whole world is saying, hey, Kenville is preaching two Jesuses. All right? So what do you do with the quote? And they came to see Jesus, but they could not see Jesus because he was in his temple. You know the scriptures already. Okay? God showed Jesus a vision of what to do. God showed Jesus what to do. You know? Do you understand now the faith that Jesus produced to the church was not by going out and just whosoever you would heal. It was to who the Father showed him. He just can't do anything on his own. Jesus was none other than, what's this now? Jesus was none other than Jehovah God. Now how's this here? If you don't know your God, Jesus was none other than Jehovah God. He was God, the Father, revealed in human flesh as the Son to take the sin out of the world. Now, when people stop there, they say, Kenville is wrong. Look at the quote. He was God, the Father, revealed in human flesh as the Son. And they tell you, well, that's God coming down in flesh. They don't read it. And God dwelt in him. They don't look at who's in him. Like the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Son of God was submissive to the Father. And a servant of God today is submissive to the Father. Jesus said, he said, he can do nothing. Then Jesus, now they stop, they quote this right on the top. Jesus was none other than Jehovah God. You see, Kenville, you're wrong. And they stop there. Let's go right to the bottom. Then Jesus did no miracles until first God gave him a vision of what to do. You think this prophet was confused? He was not confused. That's why the first pull and second pull, the purpose was to tell us who was here. Because these quotes are telling you that the Son can do no miracle. Do I make sense? All right? The Son can do nothing of himself. Okay? But what he sees the Father do it. He had to tell the truth because he was infallible. He was the Son of God. God himself was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The body, the man, was Jesus, the Son. But the spirit in him was Jehovah itself, tabernacled in human flesh. Do you get the picture? Okay, so we are seeing that the Son can do nothing. We are satisfied that the Jesus that he was talking here was definitely not the Son of God, the one that was born in the womb of Mary. So the first and second pull taught and identified to us our God. Psalms 103, he tells us he's the healer, he's the justifier of the elected, which we have read for invocation. We'll come to that just now. All right? And also, the second pull, that he is omniscient. Why? Because he begins to know the secrets of the heart. He begins to know the diseases. He begins to know why that woman whose heart was just going all up, and somebody says she's got a demon spirit in her. And he said, no, that's not what, you got no demon spirit. It's just that you're getting excited, and people think, you know, how would anybody know that? It has to be the Father. All right, so bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all, who forgiveth all thy iniquity, and heals all thy diseases. Only God can do that. Now, when Brother Branham said to that couple, I forgive you, it doesn't mean to say that he had the capacity to forgive the sins, you know, and take it off. No. Like when you say, look, brother, I forgive you. Right? I forgive you for what you've done. From a human perspective, listen, I'm not going to hold it against you, because when I speak to my Father, he'll judge you for that. I'm actually making an intercession on your behalf to say, God, please don't hold it against them. I forgive them. Okay? Because only God can forgive all our iniquity and can heal all our diseases. That means there'll be no record of it. All right. So Psalms 103 identifies that the Lord is the one that heals all our diseases and forgives all our iniquity. So iniquity is purged by mercy and truth. Now, iniquity means, what does iniquity mean? Anybody? Forgives thy iniquity. Somebody said iniquity one time. Forgives thy iniquity. Because you don't know these things and you're doing it without knowledge. All right? So that is why he has to purge you and clean you by mercy, because of your ignorance, because the lack of knowledge. He will forgive you. Now, the world is ignorant. The world does not know what they are doing. They don't know what's right and wrong. But yet he only focuses on the elected, not everybody else. Then they will not know the forgiveness of God now. They will not know the mercy of God now. They will not know the truth of God now, because he's focusing on his very own. That's the patriarch law. The patriarch law is the father will concentrate first on his own. When he seals them, then he will focus on the Jews. When he seals them, then he will look at the world. All right? So we see God is rich in mercy under the capital revelation of Son of Man, which is the first and second pull, which is the mercy of God. So when the first pull and second pull is taking place, and you begin to understand, hey, this can be nobody else but God, that means God is revealing it to you. If you sit down with somebody that understands this message, you say, brother, you know the first pull? Yes. Second pull? Yes. But who was behind it? God. They'll say, God. Yes, God. Okay, brother, but God. And go on. And then you find they get stuck, because they don't know their God. They don't know their God. All right. So when you warn somebody, it's an act of mercy. It's an act of grace to follow truth. So when this prophet was coming in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was that knocking, that first pull and second pull was trying to get the people's attention to a presence on the earth, warning them, offering them mercy, to tell them that the denominational system is not of God, because at that point in time, Trinity was quite big. The oneness was quite big, all right? He was warning them, that's not the truth, because truth is on the earth coming to you in the form of a ministry. And when you begin to believe this, that's what the angel said, if you can get the people to believe you, to know that you are sent of God, to know that you, represent truth, represent grace, represent mercy. when they see you, when they accept you, it's like the days of Noah. Noah represented God. Noah represented God. That's how iniquity is purged according to the scripture. So the first and second pool identifies him or qualifies him to be the judge of all the earth or the judge of all things. He can judge all things, discern all things, he knows all things. Therefore, he is the one who can really be identified as the first and second pool. That's God himself. So the first pool and second pool is coming to tell you that something supernatural is on the earth to discern. There's something supernatural that is passing judgment on the whore, on the mark of the beast, on America. God has placed her on the shelf. God has walked out of her. How can a man say that? It's not a man. It's not a man. It's the voice of God to you. How can a man say you stand before him as though you've never sinned? The sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. How can he say that? Has to be God. Has to be God. Do it make sense? All right. So, that's why it's spoken about in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharp. Can we bring that up? Can we bring the scripture up, brother? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. So when you look at that, is that the Bible? Get the word word. For the word of God. Okay? Speech. Okay, a word, account, the word. See there, number 7, Christ. You can't discern unless it is Christ. Unless it is Christ. Okay, let's go back. Maybe on another time we could go more into that. But piercing even to asunder the soul and spirit and of joints and the marrow is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay. So only God can do this. That's why it's a fulfillment of Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. People did not know the fear of the Lord until 1946. 2,000 years, there was no fear of the Lord. In the days of the judges, the Bible says, because there was no prophets, every man did what he thought was right. Every man thought. But now, Ecclesiastes 12 speaks about the fear of God, because now there's an absolute on the earth. There's a judge on the earth. That means in the church ages, there was no prophets. So any man could do whatever he wants. Outside the will of God, the days of the judges. All right? But now you can't do whatever you want. Because now you have the absolute on the earth, and you got to listen, and you got to listen to the whole matter. Right? Why? Because 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 said, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Now we went through that. The Lord comes there. Is the peering, the perusia. It's not the corporal. That means only in this time did the Father come to judge all religions. He judged the foolish virgins. He judged the denominations, the lukewarm. He came to judge the system. Do I make sense? Judge nothing before the time until the Lord appears. So 46 to 65 was the appearing of the Lord, telling to you and I that first and second pull was telling you that there's a presence here to clarify it's more than just a man now. Like what Nicodemus said, no man can do this unless God is with you. All right? The coming of the Lord here is Son of Man. He's coming in the second pull to judge all things. For those of you that missed Wednesday service, when you read your Bible, the Bible speaks of coming. We found out that much of the scripture was actually speaking about 46 to 65. But because the church world does not know the difference between the parousia, right, which means a being that is present on the earth, and the coming of the Lord, they place it in the future. And because they place it in the future, they're not preparing and looking at the signs of the time. So this is the appearing of the Lord. This is the presence of the Lord. Right? So we read that already. Here we have God himself in the Godhead being identified in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Judge nothing before the Lord appears. This is the Jesus, the one that is God, that is judging all things. The word of God is sharper. That is speaking about God. He's the only one that can discern the heart, discern all things. Because we know that Brother Branham cannot do this. Have you noticed sometimes you are at home and you have a situation and then you put on a tape, it's like, hey, it's like it's talking about you. And you wonder, how come? It has to be God. The unveiling of God, not in His Word, the unveiling of God, not in flesh as it is in sense, He reveals Himself in power and the ability of what He can accomplish. So in 1946 onwards, you're going to find that God was unveiling Himself in a presence under the first and second pole. Because remember, from 46 onwards, there was no bride. I call you church. That's starlight. Starlight ministry. Partial light. And that is why you'd find that 10:7, Revelation 10:7, which is a prophet, God did not open up that door yet, or that gift, or that ministry yet, because first He wants to reveal, He wants to first get the confidence of the people. Have you been to a problem and you say to somebody, is there anybody else I can talk to? You say, no, but I'm here. No. Is there anybody above you? Well, what are you actually looking for? Looking for the one who's got the authority. Okay? You don't want to go to the lady behind the counter at customer care. You want to speak to Raymond Ackerman. Man died, I think. Because you want the man with the power. So what was happening here? God first wants to gain the confidence of the people. Say, listen, I want to get your attention to tell you there's a presence on the earth that can judge all these things, that can know the secrets of the hearts, that can do these miracles. For 2,000 years, the pillar of fire was not present. So I want your people's attention to understand that Brother Branham is not the one that's doing this. There's somebody behind him that's doing this. Okay? So because why? This was Luke 17:30, the revealing of Son of Man. God making Himself known. God making Himself known. You say, but why? Go back 2,000 years. They did not know their God. Up till today, you're going to find it's a struggle. I know you're sitting there and saying, hey, but why can't the people see this? It's in the Bible. It's in the message. It's because He says, I will give them a heart to know Me. Is that for everybody? No. It's only for the elected. Do I make sense? Okay? It's only for the elected. Daniel, we did this. Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So one time Brother Branham was talking about that scripture and says that's the Pentecostal age. They'll do some great things. That's actually not true. Later on he discovers that was not for the Pentecostal age. Because John 14:12, you'll hear him speak about, he says, "Word greater works than these ye shall do," which means these more works. And the church will begin to say, well, everybody's going to do greater works. That's actually not true. It's a one-man scripture. It's a one-man scripture. Because Jesus healed, raised the dead, okay? Blind could see, calmed the storm, okay? Greater works than these you can do. They laid put handkerchiefs on Paul, the people got healed. But when you say greater works than these you can do, how many times you prayed for somebody and you gave them, you discerned the secrets of their heart? Anybody? Anybody here? And I didn't. How many times you prayed for somebody and you took them by the hand and you said, you know what? This is your disease. Anybody? Any time that you said, let there be squirrels? No. So greater works is a one-man scripture, not a Pentecostal scripture. It's not a church age. It's not for believers. It's where God wants to bring His Godhead revelation. Make it known that there can be nobody else but God Himself that can do this. So Brother Branham did not know these things in the early time, and he put it together for the Pentecostal age. All right. So that would mean they would have known it on the day of Pentecost, and 1906 was a repeat of Pentecost. So remember that in 1906, right, that's when the age started, the Pentecostal age started, but they did not know their God. These people were Trinitarians. They carried the Trinitarian, and God forgave them. You say, but why? Because Godhead revelation did not come out. It had to take a prophet. Now, I want you to understand the oneness gospel that is being preached today did not start in 1909 or 1906. It started at Nicaea. The oneness gospel where God became the Son and the Son became the Holy Ghost is Nicaea. Go and check it up. That's where it came from. The Jesus-only doctrine. He says, one went, broke up God into three. The other one went into Unitarianism. He says, but the truth is right in the center. Maybe Brother Norman can bring that quote up. He says, it's right in the center. Not three people, not one being becoming flesh and becoming spirit. He says, but the truth is right in the center. And that's where you'd find he wants to make himself known now. Say, hey, listen. Hey, listen, listen here. It's me. You can't see me because I'm invisible. You can't hear my voice. You can't understand me, but I'm on the earth. And so the greatest ministry or the greatest message that's going to come is Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Just go home and take the tablet, or maybe you got it on your phone or your computer. Look at all the titles. It'll hit you. Wow. He was trying to make himself known. There's a presence on the earth. The great exploits is the manifested sons of God in Romans 8, 19 to 23. For creation was made subject to vanity by reason of him, right? Because creation itself shall also be delivered from bondage unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole of creation groaneth. So you'd find that if the first pull and second pull did not take place, the book will never have been opened. The book would have never been opened. Creation could not go back to its rightful estate. Everything is connected. That's why you'd find that John wept. John realized if the book was not opened, creation was gone. You say, but why? Because the world, or should I say it this way? Because the sons of God did not come to know their God. They had to come to know their God first. You see, we are here to train you first. We teach you first to know your God. Now that you know your God, that is the doctrine of Christ. Now then we teach you the doctrine of godliness, how to become like God. I say, but how do I know that, Brother Louis? You sing the song, I want to be more and more like Jesus. You want to have a long beard? Long hair? That's not what he's talking about. The Jesus that you're going to know about is all what was seen in Brother Branham. That's the only Jesus you're going to know. How he lived his life. How he attended to his enemies. What he did when people did wrongs. I forgive you. Go your way. You know, and so forth. And if those things did not take place in 1946, Romans can't come back. Where the Bible says, for the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The first fruit of the bright sea was who? Brother Branham. Displaying the power of God in him. Are we okay? All right. The great exploits will be the short work manifested sons of God on the earth. That's what we saw it in the life of Brother Branham. A short work. Okay? Now, you'll find that many times you could be going through challenges and so forth in your life. And you need to learn how to tap into the power that the Lord has given to you by your speech. Okay, Brother Norman's doing waves and vibrations and frequencies. How often have you ever said to yourself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me? So many times that we look at the problem that we're going through and not at the lesson that he's trying to teach you. That your prayers become negative. Oh, Father, I'm praying for this sickness that I have. Lord, how many times have you addressed that demon? How many times? Everything is a demon. Everything is a demon. How many times you've addressed that demon? How many times you brought it under subjection that came to you genetically? Huh? But no. My arthritis. It's when you own arthritis. Oh, my pressure. Blood pressure. Sons of God, you can speak your circumstances out of existence. But the way you speak about yourself, the way you see yourself, if you see yourself as a son of God, you can do great exploits. The second great exploits, the people will know their God is in some, it's the 144,000, when they will close up the heavens and so forth. When the two witnesses will be on the earth, the power of God will be once again there. They'll lay in the street for 3 days and they'll wake up. Can you imagine this? That whole scene will be televised? Can you imagine that? The whole scene on the street or straight in Jerusalem will be televised. The whole world will see these men on the street and they waking up from the dead. We won't be here. So the 144 will come to know their God. How? It's just like Joseph, when the wife was not in there and brethren were there, Joseph began to cry and reveal himself to the people. How will Joseph reveal himself to the people? How will our Joseph reveal himself? This is our Joseph is not the Son of God. It's God himself. How will he reveal himself? Through Moses and Elijah. When the message says, and he leaves the supper table. It's not the Son. Can you imagine you go to somebody's house for supper? They invite you. The table is laid out. Hey, Brother Louis, please excuse me, right? I've got to go. I've got to leave. Hey, but you invited me for supper. No, you carry on. I'm going. I've got to attend. How funny will that be? And so when you read the quote, and Jesus will lead the supper, that's all they were thinking about. That Jesus, but they do not understand, this is the Father. He comes back. There's a quote, I think it's in Seals. He says, when you look at the cloud, he says, look at it, it's coming for the Jews. He said, look at him, the way he's looking, it's coming for the Jews. He said, well, how come? Because on the way he has to pick up the Jews. This is not the Son, this is the Father. And so why would he have to reveal himself through Moses and Elijah very quickly? Is because the 144 did not accept him. They did not know who he was. That's why they crucified him. Not the Son, not the Son, the Father. The Father was the one who made the body. It's the Father's blood, okay? And they said, but where did you get these wounds? Now you say, but Brother Louis, will the corporal body come down? No, it can't come down. The corporal body is there. But the ministry will be with Moses and Elijah to bring Godhead back to them. Do you understand me? So this will go back to them where they'll say, oh my word, look at the miracles that are taking place. Then that's going to say, no, well, that's how you crucified me. I was in a body that I made for my Son and you did not know me, and that's why you sent me to the cross. So you're going to see that coming back again through Moses and Elijah. Don't make sense? All right. So the great exploits of faith will not be seen really in the Gentile age, because we've seen it already in the days of Brother Branham. Brother Branham was our sign. But it will be seen in the Jewish age when they shall call fire from heaven and turn the water into blood. Those great exploits will be done in those days. For us, it's a closing season. Oh, but Brother Louis, what about this revivals and so forth? It's taking place now. It's not going to be a campaign meetings. It's not going to be meetings where, oh, but you know, no, it's going to be brothers and sisters having their own personal revival. Do it make sense? Their own personal revival in your heart. Oh, I just love the Lord. You know, you're having your own revival. It's not going to be thousands and thousands. Those days are over. It was for the days of the prophet. He has come and he's gone. The Gentiles will not see that, but only amongst the elected, the manifested sons of God will see that. Here a little, there a little. You're having your own little licks of fire. You're sitting in the same church. One is falling asleep. The other is wide awake, having a revival. That's what's taking place. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. He cannot be your God until you come to know him. How will you know him? He first has to reveal himself to you under the first pull and second pull, that you begin to know that there is a supernatural being. Okay? First, the people that in the end time will live under the unveiling of God in a Gentile dispensation, which is the bride, we will know him. The Gentile bride will come to know him. That's why you understand Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You begin to understand the rising of the sun, that the fourth and the seventh seal is opened up together or running together in 1946. When he says, I am waiting, you know who I'm waiting for? The angel of the Lord. So you're not looking at another angel, but you're looking at the presence of Jehovah on the earth. Then you say, oh my, that's God amongst us, that he even took a picture of himself. Do that make sense? But not everybody can say that. People are saying that. There are hundreds of people that have got Brother Brown's picture with a pillar of fire. But how many of them know that Shekinah glory held the presence of Jehovah? Come on. Go and talk to your friends. We'll keep the service open, Brother Larry. But not the next part when I'm going to do the tent vision. Okay? You can look at that picture and say, wow, and the angel took a photograph with Brother Branham. But who was that angel that was doing the miracles? Okay? The second will be the 144,000 Israel who did not know the king. They rejected the king. And they will come back now and know him. That's how they're going to get to know him. Wow. They closed the heavens. They brought, look at what they've done. The judgment they've brought in here. This has to be God. Gravel race course, 7 truckloads. Has to be God. Because if I read my Bible, read the message, Jesus, I can do nothing. So if he can't do nothing, then who was behind it? That is how Godhead comes out. So you're looking at a double portion of the Son of Man. The Son of Man unveils himself to the Gentile bride. That's what God was doing from 46 onwards. Because 2,000 years they did not know their God. They were preaching the Lamb is God. The Lamb of God is Jesus the Son. He was God. That's what they were preaching. Say, but why were they doing that, Brother Louis? Because for 2,000 years, God winked at the ignorance of the people. And he deliberately did not give them an understanding of Godhead. Because that was a ministry that has to come at the end time. In the Son of Man, he unveils himself to the 144,000 like Joseph, the type of Joseph. When his bride was not with him, he began to cry and make himself known to his brethren. He says, oh my, you know. And Joseph said, no, it's okay. He says, God did this. God was behind us. So who's behind the blinding? God. Who's behind the unveiling? God. Is your Bible becoming a new book to you? The first and second pull of Son of Man is part of the unfolding of God in presence and power. That's part of the... This is the teaching, the elect heart is how to know their God. The heart of the elect is to how to know their God. And so you've learned that Jesus the Son can do nothing. You know the Bible says that. The message says that. So there must be someone greater than Jesus on the earth. Okay? Now I want you to remember this. We are not talking about miracles. But some of you might come back and say, but Brother Louis, you know, I went to this campaign. No. We're talking about who can discern the heart of somebody. Who can take them by the hand? Okay? Who can take them by the hand and say, this is your disease, this is what happened to you? Nobody can do that. I know, sometimes I just look at my phone and all these things comes up, and this pastor, the Lord says, yeah, there's a sister here. You need to come to the front. And the Lord is telling me this, because somebody told him already. And now you see on the internet, all these things are coming up now. People are saying, hey, this guy is a fake. He did this, he did that, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. But Brother Brand, Brother Brand was in one message, he says, he was walking past. He says, it's so difficult when you're walking past somebody that you can read their heart. That you can read their heart to know what the thinking is. Now, it was not Brother Branham, it was God who was getting to know their heart. Now, I heard this once before. I don't think you're going to find it in the message where Brother Branham speaks of experiences with people, you know. Like Brother Keith was telling me this. You know, some of you know Brother Keith Hearn. He says, "No, Brother Louis, Brother Brandon was talking about this. They went for supper one day, and the brother came back crying." And I think it's in the message. No, I think it's in the message, okay? Also, is that brother was crying and so forth, and Brother Brandon was there. He said, "No, it's okay, don't worry." He says, "And oh, but Brother Brandon, you don't understand." He said, "No, it's okay, brother, I understand. You'll notice, brother, when the waitress came in, I didn't look at her but you looked at her right into the eye because she was carrying another spirit, and that's how that spirit attacked you." Another brother, he said, "Brother, you know," I don't know if it's the same brother, he said, "you know, if you didn't jump to the window, that man would have come to the door and shot you with a gun." No. That was not Brother Branham. Yes, that was his voice, that was his memory, that was his ears, but it was God, the angel of the Lord is telling him all that. I mean, what about that one? I think I showed you this before. The brother was praying and suddenly Brother Branham came across his mind and the brother was praying under the tree, and there was a hand that came and touched him, looked around, there's nobody. And then he went home, he saw on his shirt, in the back of his shirt, there was a handprint. And Brother Branham, that news came to Brother Branham, he said, "No, bring the church here." He put his hand there, and his hand fitted exactly on the print. How is that possible? Some things, even you and I can't understand it. But everything I'm trying to show you was not about the man. This is about God coming down as an angel. Now you might say, "But Brother Louis, why can't he make it clear and say, listen, to you and I, you know what? I'm Jehovah." Why can't he do it? Because you and I have not come up to that place where God can be have confidence in you and I. We're just getting to know him. Then we're going to move to godliness. And he's going to put you through all your trials and your situations. And then one day, he's going to say, "Why don't you take a stroll with me?" You see, we're going through a process to get to know our God. This prophet was the first one to get to know our God. And he was tried by the death of his wife, the death of his daughter. The church world rejected him. The ministry came to a point where it was closing down. He still persevered. Doors were closing. We get so upset when our families leave us. "Oh, Brother Louis, I've got no friends now. After I came to know this truth, they don't even come for the bride." And you want to come to sonship? Mm-mm. And then you have troubles, and you get sicknesses, and you get so disappointed, and you get frustrated. This man, every 7 years, his body went through a cycle. He got sick. You read it on the wings of a snow white dove. His stomach was getting so acidic. He says, "I cried for healing both night and day." And when he comes behind the pulpit, "Oh, I'm feeling so sick today, but I have to pray." You never heard him speak about those things. But some of us, "Oh, you are so sick only on a Sunday and a Wednesday that you can't come to church." Oh, yeah. You can't come to church. You know? I know some of us are sick. You can't come to church. Like Sister Ruth, I think, I'm not sure she went for the surgery, whether she's discharged or not. Sometimes you really can't. You can't really make it. But some of us out of convenience, "No, I think I'll stream today. I'll stream today." But yet you want to come up to sonship? You want to come up? This prophet went through the motion. My point is, yes, he will not make you, he will not reveal himself to you, know, but now he's shaping your understanding of who he is, and there will come a time that you will have a change of your mortal body that you'll be in his presence. But you have to go through the process. Does that make sense? Okay, this is the teaching, the elected heart will come to know their God. This is how you're going to come to know that God because of what we're doing. This will cause them to look away to Jesus by the attraction on Sunset Mountain. This will get your attention and this will get your attraction. When you heard about Godhead, so wow, now you're hearing that the first pull and second pull is to reveal Godhead. is to reveal His presence. We see the great attraction in the first and the second pool, and now we've come to the conclusion, this can be nobody else but God. If you want to go back and witness to somebody about Godhead, use this approach. Ask them, brother, okay. The book of Acts says that Jesus can't come until all things are restored. Yes. You believe that? Yes, I believe that. Yes. You know, they say yes. Now tell me, who came down in the days of Brother Branham? An angel? Oh, an angel. Okay. So what angel came down? Because the Bible says, yeah, Brother Branham was able to discern the heart. And only God can, the Bible says, only God knows the inside of a man's heart. And you're going to find out they will blabber, 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 and they can't give you the answer because now it's touching on Godhead. So what's the attraction on the mountain? God coming to find His rightful place among His people. I want you to remember this when I'm bringing in the 10th vision. Okay? I think I'll do it next week, Sunday. Okay? So He's coming to His rightful place amongst the people because, remember, I showed you through the church ages, behold, I come, behold, I come, behold, I come, behold, I come. And then you see somebody at the door. So He's getting your attention. When somebody knocks at the door, what do you normally say? Just go over. Oh, sorry. Nowadays you got ding dong. Just check the intercom, who's there? You know? Because they're standing outside at your gate. They're trying to get your attention because you're inside the kitchen or you're inside the house or maybe you're sleeping and you did not know there's somebody outside. And so He presses the intercom and you rush there. That intercom in 1946 was the first pull and second pull. Hello? There's somebody on the earth, because no man can do this unless God is amongst them. So Sunset Mountain was drawing the people's attention to God's rightful place. He will be their God and we shall be His people. That's the fulfillment of Jeremiah. I'll give them a heart to know me. You've come to know your God. Because now you're learning first and second pull. What's the attraction? Mount Sunset is a type when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to take His rightful place. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to take His rightful place. Because remember that you were not allowed to make sacrifice and worship outside Jerusalem. No matter where you stayed, if you're a Jew, you must get back to Jerusalem. If I say too much, I'm going to go to our next service. So God is coming to take His rightful place amongst the bride, that He is our God and we are His people. So we are called to look away from every denominational spirit, every oneness spirit. Okay? Why? Because now He's appearing to you and I, and He shall appear the second time. This is the appearing. If your God is wrong, Hebrews 9:28 will make no sense. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. That means He's not coming for a sacrifice. It was already done. This is now His appearing as a vindication of His presence. Why? Because that's Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives your iniquity. That is why we don't focus on your weaknesses of your flesh. Because you'll always have that remnant here until you have total deliverance. You'll always, you in the church, you serve the Lord, you love the Lord, and you worship the Lord. And you go out there and you make a mistake. Oh my God, why did I do this? You feel so bad. You realize, you know what? I'm still man. I fail. I need God all the time. So when you know, if you don't know what's right, iniquity, who forgiveth all thy iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Isaiah 45:20, assemble yourself and come. That's to come together. That's the shout. Yea, that are escaped of the nations. You've escaped the church ages. The Hebrew says, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. That means the four horse riders corrupted the church belief. How did you escape that? Revelation of Godhead. You've come to know your... They have no knowledge that set up wood of graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save them. Today the whole world is praying about Jesus. The Jesus that can do nothing for them. You know? I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything. Which Jesus is that? Jesus the Son? Jesus born in the womb of Mary? Or is it the Jesus who was Jesus? Or is it Jesus that was made Christ? Or is it Jesus the Christ himself? They have another Jesus. They have another gospel. And they have another spirit. And they got another worship. That's why even our songs must be according to our revelation. Musicians, don't let me get off this chair. Too much of hill songs? Huh? Sing according to your revelation. Because that brings out the revelation of God. That brings out, you know your God. Those people don't know their God. They are singing to another Jesus. You know, I think it's on our site as well. You can look at our songs and download the songs. The revelation that in the hour, you need to play that in your house. I know people like Rainmaker, na 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 na. Come on. Inspiration must be according to your revelation. It's the hour that we're living in. Because you can be bordering on idolatry on lots of things. Musicians, and just be careful, because those people wrote those songs under a different inspiration. You can change the words and whatever it is, okay? So you need to put an effort in your songs, or to sit back in the congregation if you can't do it, if you don't have the time, because you must sing according to your revelation. Let me take a seat. Isaiah 45:21, tell heed and bring them up near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared, this is the ancient, who had told it from me. Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God, a Savior, and there's no one beside me. So you'd find that, what is it? It's an invitation that you can only get saved by God. Okay? He's trying to declare himself in the book of Isaiah, for I am God and there's none else. This is a final declaration of God. I've sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear or confess. You know, people use that scripture, but they don't even know it's pertaining to Jehovah. Not the Son. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know, they quote that. Because the Bible says that he was given a more excellent name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. They don't even know their God. Yeah, love. Okay? That's the fulfillment of the people of God. And they will come to know the God. And God will be the God. And we will be his people. I want you to understand this. Is that what took Israel away from their God? It was a little bit of that. A little bit. And you keep adding and keep adding and keep adding. You know, the generation that will come after us, you got to be very careful. You might come to know your God. And you'll start introducing other things. And that's how the enemy will take you away from your God. Jeremiah 24:7, Isaiah 45:23. All these scriptures started in 1946 under the first pull. God unveiling himself. I'll give them a heart to know me. This is a sovereign work of God. When was God said, I will give them a heart to know me? It's in our day, the days of Son of Man. I'll give them a heart to know me. You see them in the car. People put it on their number plates and everything. It's in our day that we came to know our God. Out there, they think they know their God. They're going to church to be good people. Remember, they don't go to become bad people. But if God does not unveil himself to you, I will give them a heart to know me. If they don't know who their God is, then they're not going to understand the presence of God. I'll give them a heart to know me, to recognize and to understand the first pull, second pull, and third pull. It is God in power. It's God in power. You know, lots of times we are accused. Hey, but you're so intellectual. Why don't you just go to church and just love God and worship God? Why do your pastor spend 2 hours with y'all? It's because I want you to know your God. If you know your God, you can do, wow, power failure, surge. That was a surge that went off. Did it blow the projectors? All right, so let's see what happened. I see that's flicking there. That's stuck there. That's flicking there. Just see what's going on there, brethren. All right. So the first pull and the second pull, basically, and third pull, is to reveal God in his power. God in his power. Okay, I see that guy is coming on. Hopefully this guy comes on too. The trustees are working hard to put in alternative power. Okay? Because of the unstable power that we have. All right, so just give them a chance. All right, God himself alone in sovereignty can give this divine capital revelation of himself. Did our recording go off as well, brother? What? Streaming was still fine. Okay, so sorry. For those of you on streaming, we just had a glitch. All right? So, if God does not give you an understanding. Now, remember this. There will come a time that the people outside the elect will come to know God yet. They will. You say, but why? Well, they're going to come for the oil. Now, I know some of you love to share the messages with the people, but don't share your logins with people. I asked Brother Norman to do a reset as well, to reset all of your passwords. Okay? You see, but why? Because some of you are sharing this out to people, and you think you're doing a favor. You're not doing a favor to them. Okay? You need to basically understand that if God does not reveal it to them, they can't get it. They can't understand this. Let's go on. The capstone revelation of God, it began to be revealed to us in 1946. 1946 is where God began to reveal it. In the first pull, that identified Almighty God and his ability that is unique, that only God can hear in a way that is unique. Not by promises, but by his presence and power. We begin to see that God began to start healing people in a very different way. That is why he begins to say, Oral Roberts can pray for 10,000 and 5,000 and 100. He said, but my ministry is different. It's very different, okay? So divine healing through the seven church ages was to the promise of the day of the work of atonement. So divine healing, laying of hands. That is why you'd find that we do away with the laying of hands. You say, but why do we? Because we find that we do not believe that you should lay hands upon you here or call you to the altar and call you to pray because that was a hidden trait and so forth. All right? But if you believe that when the word of God has been preached, you can claim your promise. You can bring your needs before the Lord wherever you are by exercising your faith. Then we find here in 1946 that God is attracting the people's attention to look unto a man. But tricky, eh? Why was he looking to a man? Because here's a man that was vindicated. Now Amos 3:7, the Lord himself shall reveal his secrets only to prophets. To a prophet is he revealing. He said, listen, 2,000 years you've been listening to reformers, all that now. Get attention. I'm on the earth. I'm speaking through one man. To hear man's testimony, to hear a man that was sent from God, and to believe in that man, and then he will be saved. That means now, brothers and sisters, if you do not know your God, and who came down in 1946, it has a chain of reaction. Your songs are wrong. Your worship is wrong. Your tithing is wrong. Your communion is wrong. There is no body change. There's no rapture. If you are not elected of God, there is no guardian angels. Chain of reaction. You can be good people. But if God does not unveil himself to you as an individual, you will not come to know your God. There's a different kind of looking. It's a different kind of operating. And God is operating by to heal the people by identifying his presence and power with a man. That's why people could say that if ever there was a time that there was supernatural on the earth was the days of Brother Branham. But, they say, you know, but, and in the end he went off. Where did he go off in the end? By saying the Trinity is not of God. By saying the ministers are making the pulpit a business place. Where did Kenville go off? Oh, Brother Louis was a good man. Pastor Tony was a good man. But they've gone off now. Where did they go off? No, they think there's a Father and a Son now. They think there's two Jesuses. But John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The first and second pull are true identification that he is God. There is none that can do these things but God. Here's the scripture, Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear this thing, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God. Among you by miracles and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. I didn't say that. Luke said that. He was a man that was approved of God. Who was Brother Branham? A man approved of God. You sure, Brother Louis? Yes. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body. I have a work for you. That's God approving a man. Every time he tried to break that covenant, that noise came in to warn him, don't drink, don't smoke, I've approved you. You're going to be a man where I'm going to talk to, talk with, talk through. And then the people are going to know that I'm God. He was waiting for that body. And that's why when Brother Brown tried to kill himself, he couldn't kill himself. Isaiah 45:23 is also fulfilled. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, I shall not return, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. This divine knowledge is beyond human teaching and must be first given to a prophet. No one taught us that the first pull, second pull, was God's revelation being unfolded. Nobody taught us that. Okay? God had to bring it to you and I through a prophet. You can't be taught this through a seminary. Even the prophet did not understand that these pulls were what these pulls were about. At that point in time, he kept saying, I'm waiting for the angel. You know what I'm waiting for? Wait for the angel of the Lord. That was two ministries running concurrently. A church age messenger doing the work of an evangelist, and the seventh seal opening in part, bringing the presence of Jehovah God on the earth. The Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4, Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, not S-O-N, S-U-N. It was a sign that they might believe you by these two signs. These two signs were unique signs to identify that God was with Moses and that God was with Brother Branham. That's what he's given to. It was given to Brother Moses. Listen, they don't believe you. I'm giving you these two signs. All right? They won't believe you, Brother Branham, but I'm going to give you two signs. And those that believe you will get to know their God. You see, in the days of Brother Branham, the people were caught up under the first and second pull. And that is why they could not become the rainbow trout, which is part of the third pull ministry. Hold that, okay? So it is a compound meaning given to a prophet. Amos 3:7. If the God had capstone revelations to be revealed, it must start with a prophet. And lots of time people will argue with me, but Brother Louis, you're making God is such a big thing. And you know what? There's so much of other things you can preach. Why are you making such a big thing? Come on. If you don't know God, you can read this message book cover to cover. You got the wrong Jesus. And if God doesn't open it to you, you can give them even this link. They will never see it. They will take whatever I'm preaching and say, well, Brother Louis has gone off. He's gone off. He's saying there's a God on this earth. He's saying that Jehovah God came down. Where he's got that from? I never wrote Psalms 110, the Lord said to my Lord. I never wrote that. You never put it there in your message book, Jesus in Jesus. It's a revelation of God. He's trying to bring a distinction. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? That the God of the Lord Jesus may give to you. That means only the Father can give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Not the Son. The angels don't even belong to the Son. It belongs to the Father. Show it, Brother Louis. He says, I can ask my Father to send angels. The angels was given, was the prophet, was God's. But God said, gave it to his Son. Say, Son, now you take charge of the angels. He delegated to him. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. So God has to do this. Look at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand. Sorry, we didn't write that. So we have a knowledge of him. The knowledge of him starts in 1946. The knowledge of Son of Man in power. God himself starts in 1946. Now he's, oh my goodness, that was God. This true divine revelation of God, it must come to and through a vindicated prophet. So it should not be, should not stand in the wisdom of men. You know Paul, what Paul said? When I come to you, I came not with excellence or speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of our God. I didn't come to you the knowledge of men. For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That means even Brother Branham himself, I'm sorry, even Paul himself did not know Jesus. It had to be revealed to him. Okay? My words and my speech was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Paul was praying for enlightenment in Ephesians. That's what Paul was praying for here. That the Father may give to you spirit, give you revelation and wisdom. If God does not give the pastor the understanding, the church can't catch it. As long as that you're sitting under a pastor with the wrong revelation, you'll never catch it. Because God has to give it to you. All right? God has to give it to you. I don't want to deviate from my notes now. All right. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Okay? Verse 9 onwards of 1 Corinthians. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. You see, the hidden wisdom here is pertaining to the hidden things, which is the seven thunders. The seventh seal, right, is what God has hid. Paul was speaking about the wisdom of God. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means even Paul was not too clear. It only becomes clear in 1946 by God using this prophet. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. That means the seven eyes that was before God. Let every he that added ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Who was that? Every age he added ear. A reformer. Or a messenger. They wanted to know who their God is. And the Lord says, no. I have not seen, ear will not, have not heard, neither have entered the hearts of man. He says, but I'm going to reveal this in verse 10. I'm going to reveal it by His Spirit. So when the Spirit of God is on the earth, He says, as it was in the days of Daniel, so shall the Spirit of truth come at the end time. That means there's a prophet on the earth. And God's going to use a prophet now to reveal these things to you and I. Then you're going to come to know your God. Do I make sense? For what man knoweth the things of man? Say, even the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So God's not going to give it to you personally. He's going to come and reveal it to you through a prophet. And if you don't understand first pull, second pull, and third pull, you're not going to know God. Everything is tied there, brothers and sisters. Everything is tied there. So, you know, this age here, brothers and sisters, is an age of unbelief. And you'll see that even in the days of, you know, Miriam. You know Miriam? The Bible tells, and they sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for He had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had He thrown down into the sea. Now, what were they doing? You'd find that if you go and read your Bible, that the children of God, Miriam took a tambourine. You know, she took a tambourine and she began to sing, and everybody got together and they began to sing about the horse and the rider. Who is that? That's the message believers. They've come out of the denominational church. They know about the white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, and so forth. They say, oh, God has destroyed the white horse rider. And they're so happy. Miriam was one of them. And then you find that Miriam, she died in Kadesh of Barnea. She never went in. She never entered the land because Miriam did not know who was amongst them. To Miriam, that was her brother. Right? And they began to speak about Moses' wife. Oh, she's so dark. You know, how can Moses, he's so handsome. You know, how can he go there and marry this woman? You know, because the Bible says she broke out in leprosy. And God called her. And Aaron, who's Aaron? And who's Miriam? Miriam is a type of the unbelieving age. Moses was the prophet. Aaron was the priest. Miriam is the type of the church that came out that did not know their God. You see the same thing today. They've come out, oh brother, we know what the mark of the beast is. We know 666, but they don't know their God. And they can't enter. And they're speaking bad about the messenger. You say, but Brother Louis, how can this? They would speak bad. Yes. When you do not believe that Brother Branham spoke about, they came to see Jesus and they could not see Jesus because he was in his temple, and they put in other words there, it's a sign of unbelief. They don't know their God. But yet they sing in the songs of the horse and the rider, he had thrown down. And Kadesh is where they came in, and the Bible says, and they buried Miriam there. And the Lord said, my servant Moses, there is none like him. With him I speak lip to you here. Don't you fear God? You see, when they come against your Godhead doctrine, it shows they don't know their God. It shows they don't know their God. Did I say God? So sorry. All right. Okay. Listen to you too much, Brother Larry. You talk. I talk to Peggy. Yeah. All right. Luke 21:27, you'll find the Bible wants us to look to God. So when you look to Jesus, you're looking to God. In the days of Moses, when the serpents began to bite the people, the Lord said, Moses, I want you to put a brazen serpent. And when they looked to that, the serpent represented the cross. Now listen to me carefully now. The people were distracted in the days of Brother Branham from 1909. They were, you know, did you know that healing is a distraction? Did you know that healing is a distraction? Have you been to this meeting? Oh, what meeting? Oh, Benny Heaney. He only did this and everybody fell down. Distraction. Distraction. It's a distraction. Distraction from what? To look to God. Because you look to a man. That's why we don't lay hands upon you. Wherever you are, you can get your miracle. Because once you come to know your God, you can speak to God about your circumstances. Father, my boss, I close his mouth. He's not going to argue with me today. Lord, you're going to help me. Lord, you're going to give me grace. Lord, I believe you for today that you're going to take care of my family. You can get whatever you want because you come to know your God. Are you with me? So Luke 21:27 was the people to look to. There's a presence on the earth that God is revealing himself in power. All right? So you must understand, brothers and sisters, is that when the people needed deliverance, they had to look to this brazen serpent. If the people wanted to come to know God, they had to look to the cross. When the people wanted to hear from God, they had to look to Jesus on the earth. Now, Jesus that's on the earth now in 1946 was none other than who? God himself coming to speak to us through a vindicated prophet. So when these people look to the brazen serpent, they were actually looking to the cross. When you're looking to the cross now, you're looking actually to the atonement that God has made. Okay? Because the gospel is, when you're looking to the cross, the gospel is regarding the blood and the atonement of Jesus. Did you know that many people today talk about the cross? At the cross, where I first saw the light. The cross is a wood. So looking at the cross, no. It only represented something more, which was God's body on the cross. God dying for you. So you can look at the cross and see Jesus the Son. Or you can look at the cross and see it's the Father's body. Do I make sense? You can look to the cross and say, it was not about the cross, it was not about the body, but it's about the blood. And whose blood was that? It was God's blood that washed me, that cleansed me, that saved me. Why? He is calling your attention. Through the church ages, they preached at the cross, at the cross. But in the evening time, we speak about the token has come down, which is God. A token? That is about you, that the Holy Ghost that's in you, the gene that's in you. But the token is God. How did the token come? A messenger stood there. When a messenger stood there in 1946, he's bringing to you the presence of God, representing the presence of God. Say, listen, if you believe this man, you believe what he is saying, you're going to get to know your God. Okay? That's why Brother Branham was having problems, because when Brother Branham was on the air, there was lots of people that was eloquent. Lots of people that can present this and present that and so forth. But the whole idea that God wants to get everybody's attention. So when they looked to the brass serpent, they were actually looking to Jesus, which was God provided a way to take sin, which was really looking into serpent. When they looked unto the serpent in the Old Testament, they was looking unto Jesus. When they're looking unto Jesus in the New Testament, they was looking unto the serpent and the brass serpent, which represents sin judged. So I want you to understand, when they were looking at what was taking place in 1946, you're actually looking to God. But to look unto Jesus, or to look unto the brass serpent, was to look unto God, the deliverer. Many people went to the 10 meetings of Brother Branham. Many people will testify how great it was. But it was just God trying to make himself known. That is why that knocking was all about. Get the people's attention to look to a presence that was on the earth, which is a Godhead revelation. He was the one that healed you by causing you to be attracted or pointing you to a certain idol. Don't stumble on this. You go to a temple because a temple is an idol. It's a medium. The pillar of fire is not God. The pillar of fire only tells you that God is near. Are you with me? And so when you saw a man behind the pulpit, turn his back. Who is this Melchizedek now? You're seeing an idol. And that idol is telling you there's another greater presence here. That is God himself. Okay? You would focus your faith and attention to a certain representative. Okay, we spoke of the brass. So Brother Branham represents Jesus in this part of the gospel. This is who is being lifted up. Not Jesus the Son. Okay? It's the Father. But remember, I told you, whenever a ministry takes place, there's a dove and there's a lamb. That angel that was standing by the pulpit was representing the Father, which is typed by a dove. And a prophet standing here is representing the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is the Lamb. Are you with me? His ministry that God had given him, the work that God had given him, all this has been accomplished by God through Brother Branham. In Isaiah 45:22, look to me and ye shall be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none. So you cannot be part of the rapture if you don't know your God. Isaiah 45:22. When it says, look unto me, all ends of the earth, you must be looking at Brother Branham. If you don't look at Brother Branham, as to being the one that's been used under the first and second pull, you are not going to come to know your God. People say, but is it important? Well, everybody goes to church and they don't know their God. Will they be part of the rapture? No. To be part of the rapture, you got to know God. That's how important it is. A few more, I'm going to close, okay? So if you're looking at Brother Branham, you're looking at Jesus. If you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at the serpent, that's a brazen serpent, okay? The brazen serpent. If you're looking at the serpent, you're looking at God's deliverance for his people. All right, so. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So they spoke against Moses, and Moses had to pray to the Lord. The Lord gave a brazen serpent. What do you think in this age was happening when this prophet was coming? He was actually interceding. He was praying, just like Noah prayed, Abraham prayed, for this age to repent. And when the age did not repent, he left the denomination and he said, come out of her, my people. 1963, he called them out, and now you got two spirits. First you start off with three. And in the end time, you finish off with two, which is only a believer and an unbeliever. If you don't know your God, you're an unbeliever. If you don't know your God, you're an unbeliever. There's no in between. All right. So Moses told him, and the ministry of Jesus was reproduced in Brother Branham. And God caused us to look at the veil. When he said, look unto Jesus, or to look unto me, all the ends of the world, of the earth, or the Bible says, and they looked for him a second time. That's 1946. They looked for him a second time. Not at the cross, but the one that will appear at the end time. It's coming in the form of a ministry now. The ministry of Son of Man. God calls us to look unto Brother Branham, because that is looking unto God or looking unto Jesus. When we're looking at the first and second pole, it represents Jesus Christ being lifted up in our midst. So God must unveil himself to us by drawing our attention to that veil. That's what God was doing. He was drawing our attention. Hey, listen, all of y'all. I want y'all to listen to this man behind that pulpit. He's special. Because just like in the days of Jerusalem, you had to go to Jerusalem, the temple. But the temple moved from the temple to Jesus, the temple. In the last day, look to this man. Because he becomes God's hiding place, where God's going to speak from. He had chosen to reveal himself in power and through his word in human flesh before we can truly know him. So when you catch this, you say, oh my, God using Brother Branham to make himself known to us. And that's why Brother Branham came to know God. And look at him. The more he came to know his God, the closer he became to God. And now Jehovah wants to walk with him. So part of the first pull is, the first two pull is to reveal God, the God of revelation to us. The Son of Man is the unveiling of God in the form of a prophet. So we can tie that back to the first alpha part with Jesus. That's what we've done. Showing you what was happening in the days of Jesus is exactly what's taking place here. Son of Man Alpha, Son of Man Omega. You know how many people waited for Brother Branham to say, thus saith the Lord? He says, I can't say, thus saith the Lord, until the Lord himself says, thus saith the Lord. Just like Jesus the Son, who can do nothing unless the Father shows me. People will go to Brother Branham's house at the tabernacle and wait there for days. They'll travel from across the world waiting for, thus saith the Lord. And he never would say it. You would never would say. There was a time that Ormond Neville was put under pressure by people. And the Lord said to Brother Branham, go and tell Brother Neville not to do that. He's going to get into trouble. Jeremiah 31:33, and this shall be the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. We are the spiritual Israel. After those they say, the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts. It's after that. After you come to know your God, now your heart is going to carry the word of God. The laws are in you. That's why you've got to stay with this ministry that has come at the end time. where you come to know your God. You've got to stay with it so it can be in your heart. We spoke about this sometimes. The more repetition creates memory. If you keep repeating scriptures, repeating the quotes, listen to the quote, write it, look at it all the time, it'll become part of you. You know, like how driving, when you drive your car, the first time that you got into the car, you stood there. You never looked. People are waving at you. You're looking straight there. You didn't know what's left and right, okay? You didn't look the same. You're just too. But today you're on the phone and changing gears and whatever it is, because why? It becomes automatic. And when you come to know your God and you begin to start living in the pages of this word, you'll realize that He protects you from this necessary evil that God uses to shape you, but He protects you from unnecessary evil. There is necessary evil that He allows you to go through to shape you and to craft you, but He protects you from unnecessary evil. That which is not for you, He will just. I mean, you take the serpent and the woman. He never stopped the serpent to go to the woman and say, "Hey, you don't touch that woman. That's my prophet's wife. You're gonna die." But He did that to Abraham. He did that to Abraham. Okay. I will put my laws in their hearts. So before He can put the laws in their hearts and write it in their hearts, we first know we have to know that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that is what was happening in the church ages. Is what was God is trying to make Himself known. God is making Himself known to you. That is why you say, "Wow, it makes so much sense. Now I know my God. I have to be rebaptized, because the man that baptized me there did not know God. All happened to me, I was wet, I was dry, I went in wet and I came out. But now it's completely different. I've come to know my God." In the church ages, He put the law in the inward parts of the heart in a measure. So the heart represents the ark. The word represents the law that's in the heart. So in a measure, He did it in the church ages. He sprinkled them with blood. "I will be their God and they shall be my people." So, we're looking here that this is in two parts. This is the part where God gives them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How did you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? After you hear the word of truth, you were sealed. So somebody came to you, you got contact with them. So, wow, something happened to you. This must be the truth. Forget the faults and the failures you have. This must be the truth. You were sealed. Then He starts unveiling Himself that He will be their God. Now He wants to control you. Now you become His prisoner. Now the laws are written in your heart and you want to live to please Him. You don't do it out of fear. The only way that He will be their God and they shall be my people is because He reveals Himself to them completely. All right? So in this verse, you can find that the church is planned, the Son of Man planned in here. And Jeremiah 31:33, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their heart and will be their God and they shall be my people." That's from 46 onwards. The church ages did not know their God. So you're going to ask me, "But brother, what's going to happen to this church age?" There's a uniting sign taking place out there. They passed on. The ministry is continuing on the other side where those reformers are coming to know their God. And they're going to go teach those people as well. And the elect of the seven ages will rise up knowing their God. Because you can't rise up as an unbeliever. You got to rise up as a believer. An unbeliever is the one who don't believe in God, the true God. Jeremiah 31:34, "And they shall teach, and they shall teach no more every man is..." After you come to know your Godhead, excuse me, there's no need for me to teach you about God. Because you know the Father and you know the Son. I can't keep going on and on about it, but I can bring it from different angles. Like today, to show you, first pull, second pull, is to tell you It was a God revelation, and every man and his brother. So at the end of it, when he's finishing putting the laws in their heart, he's going to cause them to know the Lord. Okay? He will be their God, and they will be his people. Therefore, Jeremiah 31:34 should have been injected in between here. I will put my laws in their inward parts. Okay? Because you can't know God, have his laws, unless first he reveals himself to you. Once he reveals himself to you, you accept it, he writes it in your heart. And now you have a relationship with God, okay? You got to know, we're looking here rightly dividing the word. It does not come exactly right in order. So when you're reading these scriptures here, right, this is where I'm talking about. I will put my law upon their hearts and write, and will be, and they shall be my. You cannot be God's people first unless God reveals it to you. You can't. You can't say, I'm God's people. Everybody's claiming to be a child of God. A child of God is the one who knows God. And you can't know God unless he sovereignly decides for you to know him. And you can't get to know him unless he puts a gene in you. And if he puts a gene in you, you still need somebody to come and bring it to you. And when somebody comes and talks to you, there must be a connection there. If God does not create the connection, you're not going to know God. That's why you get people that are going to be with us and going to leave us. And they're going to go out there, they're going to get bad, and they're going to come back here and say, oh, this must be the truth. They had to go out there first to experience. And once they empty themselves of themselves, then God says, okay, now you're ready to get to know who I am. Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more. So we're not going to. So once you come to know your God, you move on. You move on. I think it's Hebrews, right? Forsaking the principles of the doctrines of Godhead and water baptism and laying of hands, let's move on now. It's going to cause them to know the Lord. It'll be the people, all right? Jeremiah 24:37 was, now I will give them a heart to know me. That I am the Lord. So you're seeing that at the end time. All right? I hope you're getting to understand these scriptures, brothers. So, in Isaiah 54, verse 13, and all their people shall be taught from the Lord. That's today's scripture, 46 onwards. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father who had sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You can't come to know the Father unless the Father says, that brother, that sister, that area is going to get to know me. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you to all truth. That's 1946, Son of Man. And the next part is, for he shall not speak of himself. That's Brother Branham. And whatsoever he shall hear, that he will speak. Brother, whatever the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham, that is what he is going to speak. And he will show you things to come. Gave you all the prophecies. That's the scripture of the end time. John 16:13. Okay, I did to you 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Just nothing before the time. Okay, when the Lord began to reveal these things. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 and 11. I did that already with you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter was done. It's the end time scripture. You cannot know the fear of the Lord unless you know the absolute and until you believe the one that God has sent. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living. And this is speaking about God himself. Only God can do that. We've already done that. Ephesians 1:17, that the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can give you the revelation and understanding. And who's the one that can heal all your diseases, forgive all your iniquity? Nobody else but God. And we are seeing that from 46 onwards, how God, through this ministry, was forgiving one another. All right, so we see, brothers and sisters, this is a fulfillment. All the scriptures I showed you is fulfilled under the seventh seal, because the seventh seal started in part in 1946. So on Wednesday, God willing, I will continue with this, right? And God willing, on Sunday, I know it's Father's Day, but I'll greet you and I'll move on, okay? But we'll see what happens, because I want to go to the third pool ministry as well. Do the third pool, that's if it be the will of the Lord. God bless you. God undertake for you in a special way. Amen. We'll keep this part of the service open still. All right, so let's all stand together, Brother Terrence. Let's pray. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this morning. We thank you for your people. As the bride of Jesus Christ, wherever she goes, that you'd watch over her. Keep us in the faith. Keep us faithful. Look into thee, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith now in Jesus' name. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and God keep you.